And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blast-off. X-1.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. All right, it's about 8 minutes after 11 p.m. here. On Sunday night, it is June 12th, 2016. This is program 86 in the WGN Radio Theater series. I'm Carl Amari, your host, and to my right is the vivacious and very dimpled and blonde Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hi, Carl.
How are you?
I'm really good. How are you?
Good. Elif Garris, our producer, is in the booth, right?
Yes. Hi. Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
White, right?
Right.
White.
You're always right with Autolite. Did you know that?
Yes. I'm the Autolite girl. So.
Yes, you are.
Yes.
So we have a salute to Judy Garland. And last night we had a salute to Mickey Rooney. You know, they worked a lot together in the movies. They were good pals. And the very first show we're going to play tonight actually has both of them in it. Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland starring in Strike Up the Band. Good kind of musical drama comedy, and it's on the Lux Radio Theater. An hour-long presentation, so we'll break it up into four parts. Then you're going to hear Judy Garland in a mystery, a good suspense episode called Drive-In. All of this is brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride.
This actor stars in the TV series Billions as a prosecutor who tries to bring down a powerful and wealthy hedge funder.
All right, what do they win?
Oh, this is exciting. We've got a pizza and a play. So it's a pair of tickets to the inaugural season opener, The Secret Garden, at Lake Forest Theater, and a Lou Malnati's gift certificate for $25.
All right, the number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor played Miles to Thomas Hayden Church's Jack in 2004's Sideways.
Can we move on to the Sorrento, please?
All right, that's it. That's all you get. Yeah?
I really like that movie.
All right. Do you know who that actor is? Call us, 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break. Get the stories that make the city with unlimited digital access to award-winning Chicago Tribune News. Become a member today at chicagotribune.com.
Welcome back to the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing my favorite game, Celebrity Scoop. Let's play that very short movie clip again.
Can we move on to the Sorrento, please?
Hey, Howard from Lockport. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. We're glad to have you with us.
Glad to be here.
Good. Do you recognize that celebrity?
I do. Paul Giamatti.
Yes. Isn't he great?
Yes.
Well, you're great because you have won a pair of tickets to the season opener of The Secret Garden. It's at Lake Forest Theater right now through July 2nd. And you can get tickets or check it out at lakeforesttheater.org. And, of course, we love giving you a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish and my favorite. And you can check them out at loumalnati's.com. Howard, thank you so much for calling
in. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Take
Howard.
Take care.
All right. We appreciate our listeners very much. Thanks for calling in and playing our games each hour and winning some prizes. And all of our listeners all across the country, because this station is a very powerful blowtorch, as they say in the radio biz. Radio 720 WGN reaches about 40 states plus parts of Canada. And we get calls from all over the country, and it's really cool to be able to...
Even Lockport.
Yeah, to broadcast these classic radio shows all across the country. And then other people are tuning us in around the world and through the internet.
Right, of course, through the podcast as well.
You can literally watch us and listen to us.
Yeah, isn't that something?
On WGNradio.com, correct?
See, Carl forgets they can watch, and he does all sorts of weird things, doesn't he, Ella?
Yeah. Well, sometimes.
Yeah, I've seen some shoeless feet before.
Oh yeah, I don't wear shoes in the studio.
Yeah,
so everybody else wears nose.
We bring our incense and we sort of, you know, drown out the smell.
Wear a clothespin on your nose. That's all. It's
okay.
Very easy.
Got it.
I don't want to inconvenience you guys
anything. No, of course not.
You know. All right, so it's time now for the Lux Radio Theater presentation of Strike Up the Band. We have Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland in this. Of course, the Lux Radio Theater. The most extravagant show in all of classic radio, cost between $50,000 to $100,000 per broadcast to put the show on back in the 1930s and 40s. So imagine how expensive a program for 1 hour that was back then. It was hosted and produced by Cecil B. DeMille. He really was kind of a figurehead. He really wasn't like the producer, called him the producer, but he was just like a guy that came in, read the script, and did his thing. He was a busy director, one of the busiest directors. But that was a coup to get Cecil B. DeMille to host this series. And they had all of the major film stars. They had the best movies on Lux Radio Theater. They were radio adaptations of the films. As you'll hear right now, we're going to tune into Strike Up the Band. Great, great episode from October 28th, 1940, sponsored by Lux. And as I say, we broke this up into four parts. So here's part one, Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland, Strike Up the Band on the Lux Radio Theater.
Lux presents Hollywood. Radio Theater brings you Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland in Strike Up the Band with John Scott Flutter. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. Cecil B. DeMille.
Ladies and gentlemen, because even though I'm in New York, our play comes to you from the stage of the Lux Radio Theater in Hollywood as usual. And rumor reaches me all the way across the country that the Lux Radio Theater was a far from quiet place this week. The rafters haven't been ringing, they've been shouting. And the reason is the two stars who are making their first appearance at our microphone tonight, Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland. Wherever these two are concerned, there's a cheerful whirlwind of action, songs, and comedy. And that's the mood of our play tonight. It's Strike Up the Band, the new MGM picture starring Mickey and Judy, which is currently adding a new success to their record. In Strike Up the Band, Mickey goes into the music business and organizes a band, a dance orchestra, specializing in what I believe is known as jive. Judy is the singer in Mickey's orchestra, who wishes that her hero would spend less time with his drums and more with her. And if some of you who have high school sons and daughters think you hear familiar scenes tonight, we'll consider that a tribute to the success of our play and stars. Now, with a twist of a switch, we take you back to the stage of the Lux Radio Theater in Hollywood, where my brother, William C. DeMille, is acting as producer this week. Bill, take over, will you?
Well, I'll try. Ladies and gentlemen, the last time I went to bat for Cecil was about 30 years ago. He was starring in a play up in Canada. And believe it or not, he got the mumps. I rushed up and played the part for a week to keep the company going. And now tonight's company is ready to entertain you as the curtain rises on the first act of our play, starring Mickey Rooney as Jimmy Connors and Judy Garland as Mary Holden, with John Scott Trotter as Paul Whiteman and Louis Silver's orchestra portraying the part of Paul Whiteman's orchestra. And now, Mr. Bandmaster, if you please, strike up the band. Ladies and gentlemen, the music you're now hearing comes from the gymnasium of Riverwood High School, where it is played flawlessly by the boys of the school band. Well, not quite flawlessly, for the boys have been wrestling with this tune for 2 hours, and they might be getting a little stale. Yes, they are stale. The tuba is weary, the trombone is bored, and on the traps, young Jimmy Connors beats out a sad tattoo. Even the bandmaster, a spinster music teacher, can find no joy in her chosen work.
Ma'am?
May I ask what that was supposed to be?
Yes, ma'am, that was a break. I was taking the break on the cymbals.
Jimmy Connors, this is not the swing orchestra, and you're not Cab Calloway.
Yes, ma'am.
How do you expect to give a band concert? Do you realize that... Oh, what's the use? You can all go home. Rehearsal dismissed.
Boy, what a session.
Yeah, you want to stick around, Phil? We can play some hot records.
I'd like to, Jimmy, but the last time we did that, I didn't get home until 12. And my dad was pretty burned up.
Oh, we're only practicing.
Yeah, but my folks think I practice better at home. Anyway, Annie's waiting for me.
Annie? You're dead.
Yeah, be seeing you, Jimmy.
All right. Hey, Booper, how about you? Would you like to try a little classical swing, huh?
Can't do it, Jimmy. My family's out of sympathy with these late sessions they've been having. See you tomorrow, Jimmy.
Okay.
Jimmy? Is that you, Jimmy?
Huh? Yes, Mom, it's me.
Are you just getting home? What time is it, dear?
Gosh, Mom, I don't know. It's kind of late. Must be close to 11.
Our clock seems to be fast. Good night, Jimmy.
Good night, Mom. Hiya, Mary.
How am I doing?
Hey, Mary, come here. I got something to tell you.
Say, have you got an option on this gymnasium? This place is supposed to be for exercise.
Oh, I got enough muscles. Look, Mary, you know, I don't go around steaming people up.
Oh, no, of course not.
You remember one time I told you that someday we're going to have a dance orchestra?
Yes.
Well, the dog is barking.
What do you mean?
Well, look at Mary. I've been thinking it over in my mind. And, well, a fella doesn't want to play in a broken-down brass band anymore. He gets tired of that. So instead of the school having a band that plays a concert once a year, we can have a swell modern dance orchestra. Got everything we need, a brass section, piano, reeds, and you. And
me?
Well, sure, you'd handle all the vocals.
Oh, that sounds wonderful, Jimmy.
It is wonderful. We could make our own arrangements and specialties and play for all the dances. Say, do you think we could sell the idea to Mr. Judd?
Mr. Judd, the principal? Oh, I thought the last time you saw him...
Yeah, but I don't think he'd hold my past against me. This is something pretty big. Would you go down to see him with me? Say maybe tonight?
Sure, Jimmy, I'll go.
Oh, it's a date.
What time?
Oh, right after dinner, say 7 o'clock. Okay.
I told Mother about the band, Jimmy, and she thinks it's wonderful.
Yeah?
She says to tell you good luck with Mr. Judd. What'd your mother say?
My mother? Well, oh, nothing. You see, I didn't tell her.
You didn't tell her? Why?
Well, I guess I'm afraid to.
Afraid to tell your mother?
Mary, it isn't as easy as you think. It's not just telling her that we're going to have a band. I've got to tell her, that this is it. Music, it's my future. It's the thing I want most.
Well, she'd understand.
No, I don't think she would. She wants me to be a doctor like Dad was. But, Mary, look at me. Do I look like a doctor?
No, I guess you don't.
Of course I don't, but ever since I can remember, she's always talked to me about it, and that's why she's been working in that store all these years for me.
Well, Jimmy, are you sure you want to be a drummer?
Mary, I was never more sure of anything in my life.
Well, go to her and tell her that. She'll understand, because she'll realize that your ambition is strong and sincere. Mothers are like that, Jimmy.
I never thought of it that way before, but you're right, Mary. Oh, you know, you're so wonderful. Gosh, it's a great comfort to have somebody you can tell your troubles to. And, oh, you always have such a wonderful way of putting me on the right track.
Yeah,
and you know, you're going to make some man a fine wife.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to envy the guy that gets you, too.
Yeah?
Yeah. And Mary, I'll never forget what a great pal you've been to me.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, straight from the shoulder, a real pal.
Reminds me of a song.
What song?
Oh, what a pal was Mary.
That's very good. yeah.
Come on, we'll be late.
And that's the idea, Mr. Judd. You see, the band as it's organized is strictly no good. So my idea
wait,
is to take...
Please, wait.
Take it easy, Jimmy. Go ahead, Mr. Judd.
Thank you, Mary. Jimmy, as I understand it, you want to form an orchestra and give a school dance instead of our regular band concert.
Yes, sir. And not only will we have a great dance orchestra, Mr. Judd, but we'll also have a great singer, too.
Really?
I guess he means me.
I see. And you're going to arrange for the whole thing, Jimmy?
Yes, sir.
Publicity, selling tickets, paying off the debt of the band, the whole thing, all in 3 weeks?
In a breeze.
In a breeze? Well, you've taken on a pretty large order, Jimmy, and I don't believe you can do it. But I'll buy the first ticket.
Oh, gee, that's great.
Good night, Jimmy. And all the luck in the world. Here's my hand on it.
Oh, thank you, sir. Oh, my gosh, Mary. The principal shook hands with me. Well, we certainly slipped it to him, all right.
We certainly did.
Oh, there's a great old guy.
He's a great old guy. Come on in the house a minute.
Vision, that's what he's got. Why, there's a man that can see over the transom. Yes, sir, he's going to go places.
He sure is.
Oh, let me at that piano. I'm raring to go.
Wait a minute. I'll take the cover off. Here, give me a hand.
Mary, come here.
Yes, Jimmy?
You know, something's been troubling me lately.
What?
Well, do you think that our love affair has enough punch to it?
Huh?
Our love affair.
Oh, well, Jimmy, now that you mention it...
Because I've got a new arrangement on it. Look, Our Love Affair by Jimmy Connors.
Oh,
it's a dynamite love song. It's just made to order for you. I'll play it. Wait till you get a load of this intro. It's got some chords that are really out of this world. Now, listen. It starts off a little flary. Are you listening to me?
Sure.
Then it softens down here. Violins, you know. Then the orchestra sneaks back in for the vocals. Like this. Now, listen. Our love affair will be such fun, we'll be the envy of everyone. Those famous lovers, we'll make them forget, from Adam and Eve to scarlet and red. Flutes and oboes. When youth has had its merry fling, we'll spend our evenings remembering two happy people who say on the square with fiddles, isn't ours a lovely love affair? Now, come on, you try it, huh?
Jimmy, are you sure you want me to sing with the band? You're not...
Why, of course not. We need you, Mary. You're as important to me as the brass section.
That's pretty important.
Well, come on now, try it, huh? Here we go.
Our love affair was meant to be. It's me for you, dear, and you for me. We'll fuss and quarrel and tears start to brew, but after the tears our love will smile through. I'm sure that I could never hide the thrill I get when you're by my side. And when we're older, we'll proudly declare, wasn't ours a lovely love affair?
Oh, gee, Mary, you're swell.
Oh, it's a swell song.
Oh, but with you singing it like that at the dance, we'll be a sensation. You know, there's only one thing it lacks to make everything perfect.
What's that, Jimmy?
Oh, you'd think I was silly if I was to mention it.
Well, no, I wouldn't. Really, I wouldn't. What would make it all perfect, Jimmy?
Huh? Oh, a xylophone.
Oh.
Well, good night, Mary.
Good night.
They used the word swell a lot back then, didn't they?
God.
You don't hear swell anymore.
I like that
You're
word.
Swell, Lisa. You
I
know
like
that?
The word swell.
Yeah. Judy Garland there, along with Mickey Rooney. It was both of their first appearances on the Lux Radio Theater. Now, both of them had done a lot of Lux after this, but here they were together for the very first time on the Lux Radio Theater with this Strike Up the Band from October 28th, 1940. A really good program. We'll have three more parts of this all the way till 1 o'clock in the morning. Then from 1 till 2, we'll have Judy Garland starring in a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. You're listening to the WGN Radio Theater, and we'll be back after these words. All right, this is the WGN Radio Theater. My co-host Lisa Wolf and I are here every single Saturday and Sunday night. In fact, I haven't missed a single Saturday or Sunday.
No,
miss
you haven't.
Vacation once in a while.
I only missed one weekend.
Really?
One weekend when I went to Florida in December. That's,
no, that's
it.
That's not too bad.
No.
In a year and a half. What do you think,
out of
Ella,
86
she gets a pass
programs.
For that? Is she okay?
Oh, I'm okay.
One weekend? I think that's okay.
All right.
She deserves
well,
it.
Well, you missed one too, so we're even, right?
Right. Yeah.
Oh, slacker.
Let's just throw that out there.
I'm working with a couple of slackers.
Yeah, that's for sure. I wanted to ask you if you chose Strike Up the Band purposely because tonight was the night of the Tonys, and that's sort of, you know.
Tony the Tiger?
Tony the Tiger. This is the night that Tony the Tiger was all over the TV. They are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Tony the Tigers?
Mm-hmm.
That's the, those are for like plays, right?
It is. Broadway. Yeah. Oh. You've heard of that place?
Well, I've heard of it.
Right.
Yeah,
Don't frequent it.
I think it's, they call it the Great White Way, right?
Something like that.
I've heard of it.
Right.
Yeah, Lisa is Broadway Lisa. She loves those plays.
I love the theater.
You know what I do when I go to the play?
You sleep.
Sleep.
Yeah. Well, you could sleep here. You could sleep there.
You know what? If I was.
Could you in a car?
If I was an insomniac, I would get lifetime, you know, weekend passes to plays, then that would help me with my disease.
I don't think you need help. You could just head right over to the green room.
See, I just don't know what it is about people going to plays.
You know, my dad used to fall asleep at my sister's own plays.
Yeah.
See, isn't it doesn't matter what play it is.
And I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, that's fine.
Her castmate saw him sleeping during the play.
He was sawing logs.
He was just, you know, taking a little break there.
You know, I used to love to be in plays. As an actor, I would love being in plays.
Right.
But I could never go and watch a play.
Well, some of them are well worth watching, and some of them might be snoozers, but I can, you know, help you out with that.
Seriously, how many plays do you see a week? Two,
you know,
three?
No, I've cut down.
Oh, have you? Because you're down to three or four now?
No, I usually, now I've been going to one or two.
A week.
A week.
That's a lot of plays.
I used to go to three or four.
LF, that's a lot of plays,
right? It was a lot,
right?
So.
I should introduce you to my mom because she wants to get out of the house and be entertained more.
And I am very entertaining.
Yeah. It's true.
Well,
we could have some fun.
And here's the thing. Chicago has amazing plays, right?
Chicago has the best theater.
I mean, it's right on par with New York, but I just can't
and
do
so
it.
And so many plays now are starting here in Chicago as a test market prior to New York.
As soon as I walk into the play, I sit in the seat, I'm out.
Good. It's an age thing.
No.
Yeah.
Even when I was
even when
I was 70 or 80, I still would fall asleep. Right, sleep.
All right. Yeah. Well, you know.
But that's why you're Broadway Lisa, and I'm not.
Did you watch the Tonys tonight? No.
No.
I'll have to fill you in.
No.
All right.
No.
Well, go Hamilton.
But we'll go back to a play here, Lux Theater. And this is Strike Up the Band, Judy Garland, Mickey Rooney from 1940. Here's part two of four parts on the Lux Radio Theater.
Now listen, fellas. We're going to take this number again. Now let's get together on it. We got to dance the player tonight. People are paying money.
Okay, Jimmy, we'll get
it. Well, come on then. One, two.
Willie, will you hold the ladder while I hook these balloons up?
Sure, Mary.
Hiya, Mary.
Hello, Annie. How you doing with Jimmy? Oh, I don't know. Honestly, Annie, I'm discouraged. You know, it does something to a girl's spirit to keep on fighting a losing battle to a snare drum.
Well, just keep holding out, Mary. You win.
Thanks.
Mary?
Yes, Willie?
Mary, I don't think Jimmy Connors appreciates you.
Why, Willie?
I mean it. Gee, if I were Jimmy Connors, I'd tell the whole world you were my girl.
Oh, well, that's why all the girls love you, Willie.
Yeah, but who wants all the girls? Leave your music on the stands, and don't forget 8 o'clock sharp and everybody with a clean shirt.
Hey, Jimmy, I can't make it at 8 o'clock. I have to pick up Annie.
You have to pick up Annie?
Well, gee, Jimmy.
Look, fella, you're going to play a saxophone or you're going to keep your mind on the gal? Somebody else will have to pick her up. I'll see you at 8 o'clock.
But, Jimmy, listen.
Hey, Mary, can I see you?
Yes, Jimmy?
Mary, I've got to get here early and help him set up, so I won't be able to stop by for you.
Oh.
How about it, Willie? Will you bring Mary for me?
Oh, yes.
You don't mind coming with Willie, do you?
No, of course not.
Well, that's swell. I'll see you tonight, Mary.
Yeah, so long.
I always have a wonderful time when I'm with Willie. Don't I, Willie?
Yeah. And I always wind up with a pat on the head. Hey, Phil, it's a swell gate, isn't it?
Terrific.
Come on, give it, fellas, give. Oh, I love to dance with you, Mary.
Thank you, Willie.
Gee, you know, I feel dandy. Couldn't we go someplace where we could, well, sort of be alone?
Oh, now, Willie, you be a good boy. Remember what I told you.
You know, Mary, I was studying up on Napoleon. Did you know he was a very short man?
Really?
Listen to that. We're in, fellas, we're in.
Wasn't that a swell dance last night, Mom?
It certainly was. Oh, be careful with those dishes, Jimmy, and dry them off well.
Yeah, sure. But you should have heard what Mr. Judd said about the band. Oh, he's a swell guy.
Oh, Jimmy, be careful. You know, you've been nearly dropping that platter ever since you were 6 years old.
I've come much closer to it than that. Oh, Mom.
Yes, dear.
Mom, when do mothers stop thinking about their sons as being little boys?
I guess never, Jimmy. That's the fun of being a mother.
Mom, look, someday whenever you want anything, all you're going to have to do is just ask for it. No worries, no landlord, no store. I'm never going to stop until you've had 10 days of happiness for every one of those tough ones.
You know, Jimmy, parents live through their children. If you're happy, I'm happy. If you're successful, then I'll be a success.
Mom, you're worried about me, aren't you? Well, look, you don't have to worry about me because a lot of times a guy does things that people can't understand. Things crawl around inside of them that nobody in the whole world can understand.
What is it, Jimmy?
Mom, you and Dad, you wanted me to be a doctor. And after we lost him, you wanted it even more so. That's why it makes so tough for me to tell you that I can't. Oh, I'm so sorry I could almost bawl inside, but it's just not there. Why, Dad loved medicine. He loved every little part about it. That's why he was such a fine doctor. And the way he loved medicine, that's the way I love music. Why, when I'm sitting there at the drums, I feel as though I'm in the right place. I feel as though I belong there. And that's what I want to do.
You want to be a drummer in an orchestra?
Well, that's part of music, Mom. It's rhythm. And, well, gee, it's been beating around in my mind ever since I can remember. Oh, I'm sure you'd understand if you thought about it as much as I did.
If you only knew, Jimmy, how much we thought about it. Why, since before you were born, it started. Your father and I prayed you'd be a boy just for that reason. And to the very end, he clung to that ideal for you, to heal. And that's such a wonderful thing, Jimmy, in a world that's sick and suffering.
Yeah, I know, Mom. I thought a lot about that, too, but it's the same way in music. When the music's happy, it makes the people happy. When it's sad, they take things out of their lives that made them sad and lose them in music. Then they feel better afterwards. Tell me, Mom, in a way, isn't that sort of like healing, too? Isn't it? All right, Mom. All right. I'll be a doctor. Now, I'll be a good doctor.
Jimmy.
Yes, Mom?
I was wrong when I said that a mother never stops thinking of her son as a little boy. Why, there's always that time when a mother sees her son before her with a mind of his own, a world of his own, and a heart of his own. And it's then that she realizes whether she's made a success or a failure of her son as a boy. Just now I saw it, and I knew that I was proud of my boy.
Oh, Mom.
You could be a doctor, Jimmy, a good doctor. But if deep down inside your ambition is to make people happy with your music, why, that's all that matters. I'm satisfied.
Oh, you know, you're the most wonderful mom that ever lived.
But remember, son, the top of the ladder is very appealing. And for my sake, be careful how you climb that ladder.
I will. I will, Mom. And when I get there, nothing they could cook up would be too good for you. You know what? I'm going to make you a queen.
Dawn of the following morning found the maestro of Riverwood High up and stirring after a night of excited sleep. 7 a.m. found him reading the morning paper. At 7:02, his eyes bulged as he read a certain item. And now, at 7:05, he's flying toward Mary's backyard, his baggy trousers whipping out behind him in the breeze.
Hey, Mary! Mary! Hey, Mary!
What's the excitement?
Mary, give me a mountain. I want to crush it into a molehill.
Well, who's been feeding you?
vitamin.
Mary, I've got the greatest hunk of news since the invention of the wheel. Look, I just found this little piece of in the newspaper. Paul Whiteman, America's number one band leader, has decided, due to the great wave of interest among the youth of America in modern music, to give the auditions to the high school dance orchestras in the various cities he is now playing. Now this is the important part. Mr. Whiteman's final selection will be guest starred on his weekly program on November 2nd from Chicago.
Oh, well, that is something. Oh, but Jimmy, it would cost a fortune to get that whole band to Chicago.
No. I figured it out. To get the band there and back by bus in 2 days in Chicago, it'll cost about $200. That's if nobody eats heavy.
Well, now, Jimmy, that's an awful lot of money, even if we had it.
Yeah, it is quite a bundle.
But it's not impossible.
Hmm. Say, when's bank night?
You're pressing.
Yeah. Say, suppose we went over and we had a little talk with...
Mr. Judd.
Sure, the school board will do anything he says. Besides, he was crazy about our band last night.
Well, we ought to get him while he's in a good humor.
Well, what are we waiting for? Come on! There's the proposition, Mr. Judd. Publicity for the school, everything. What do you say?
Definitely no.
Oh. He said no, and I said oh, and that finished it. But there's more than one way of spending a top fill.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been thinking it over all day. Now, how can we raise $200?
Yeah. You know, Jimmy, I think Annie's good and sore. She's really burned up all right.
Annie! Is that all I get out of you, Annie? Aren't you interested in the band?
Oh, sure, Jimmy.
Well, don't you realize, Phil, we've only got 6 weeks to raise the money to get the kids to Chicago? This is a terrific thing. This isn't just baby talk.
Oh, I'm with you, Jimmy, all the way. You know that.
Well, all right. Now, how are we going to do it?
How about some punch boards?
Punch boards? Sure. And we'll give Annie away as the prize.
All right, if you're going to be a wise guy.
Oh, I was only kidding, Phil.
Hey, wait a minute. Why couldn't we make a deal with the Elks Club to give a dance at their Milk Fund Bazaar? It's only a month away.
Oh, they don't give dances at any... Hey, that's not a bad idea. We could put on our own show. That'd be different. We could make up our own specialties and sketches and dance routines.
Great, I like it already.
Say, what's the number one elk? The whatchamacallit, the...
Mr. Mollison. And he owes my dad money.
That's our man. Get after him right away.
Yeah. You know what, Jimmy?
What?
I think I ought to call Annie.
Oh, are you making Valentines again?
Well, wait till you're in love with somebody. You'll know what I'm going through.
Women to me, Phil, are just people.
Quiet, please. The class will please come to order. The problem is marked on the blackboard. Get to work.
Hey, Jimmy. This algebra gets me down. Did you get the answer to the last one?
Hey, don't bother me. I'm busy.
Hey, that ain't algebra.
Shut up, will you? I'm working on a lyric for the show.
Miss Hodges.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Judd.
I'm sorry to disturb you, but I'd like you to meet a new student of ours, Barbara Frances Morgan.
How do you do, Barbara Frances?
I'm delighted to know you, Miss Hodges.
Hey, Jimmy, look at the new girl.
Don't annoy me, will you?
Boy, is she beautiful. Just look at her once.
I told you that women don't interest me.
Well, you can look, can't you?
All right. Where is she? You mean that girl up on the...
Wow!
Oh, James.
Yes, ma'am?
James, I wonder if you'd take Barbara Frances to the supply room and help her with her textbook.
Hello. Would it inconvenience you terribly?
No. Not at all. That, this way.
Back to work, class. Back to work.
Well, I guess that's all the books you need.
Thank you. Tell me, have you traveled very much?
Traveled? Well, a little. That is, my uncle took me to Chicago 3 years ago to see the World Series.
Oh, no, I mean the continent.
Which one?
Oh, you must see the Riviera.
Must I?
I met the most wonderful man there, almost too beautiful, but he turned out to be a duke, and you know what they are.
Yeah, you gotta watch those dukes. Well, there goes the bell. That's the last class.
Oh, dear, we were just getting to know each other.
Yeah.
You know something? You're cute. Goodbye now.
Yeah.
Mary, can I walk you home?
I'm sorry, Willie, but I have to work at the library today.
Oh, Jimmy! Jimmy Connors!
Hey, there's that new girl.
Hello, Jimmy. Were you looking for me?
Well, no, not exactly.
Come on, jump in. I'll drive you home in my car.
Well, thanks anyway, Barbara. I don't think
that
I can.
Oh, come on. Jump in.
Well, okay.
Will you look at that? That Barbara gal doesn't waste any time, does she?
I guess Jimmy doesn't either.
Just give me the word, Mira, and I'll slug him.
Well, Willie, don't forget, Napoleon had a whole army.
Mary, are you in charge of the library today?
That's right. Can I help you, Booker?
Well, I just wanted to return this book.
I'll leave it on the desk.
Okay.
Hello, Mary.
Hello, Jimmy. Didn't I see you going home?
Yeah, I came back. Mary, about the county fair.
The fair? What about it?
Well, I thought that you and I, we had an understanding that we were going together. To the fair.
Yes.
Well, I kind of got myself all tied up and well...
With that new girl?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, well, there was really no definite understanding that we were going together. Besides, I'm pretty busy. And fairs, they're just a bunch of livestock and a merry-go-round, and I've seen all that. Besides, there are a lot more important things in the world than going to fairs with people.
Sure, there are. Well, I thought I'd drop in and explain it to you. I knew you'd understand.
Oh, sure, I understand. You can always count on me, Jimmy. Just the same as you could your own cousin.
Yeah, and I appreciate it, too. Well, so long, Mary.
So long, pal. All the big professors state that everything should have a mate. Birds and bees and flowers and trees all have romantic tendencies. So far I have missed the he that fate decreed was meant for me. I'm just living in a lull, and I'll confess mighty dull. Romeo had Juliet, and Louis the 16th had Antoinette, but I ain't got nobody, and nobody's got me. Peleus had Melisande, and Isabella had Ferdinand, but I ain't got nobody, and nobody's got me. Welsh grape juice has Irene Rich, Minneapolis has St. Paul, Abercrombie has his Fitch, but here I am crying and sitting and sighing with no one at all. Every Jack has got his Jill. Lux toilet soap has C.B. DeMille. But I ain't got nobody, and nobody's got me.
All right, we're back. This is hour two of the WGN Radio Theater. We are here every Saturday and Sunday night. We have 6 hours on the air, and we play 6 classic radio shows. Unless there's an hour-long show, then it cuts it down a little bit. But normally we play 3 half-hour shows on Saturday night and 3 half-hour shows on Sunday night. We have been doing salutes to great actors. Next week, we have quite a lineup. On Saturday, we are saluting Humphrey Bogart. You're going to hear Humphrey Bogart in 3 classic radio shows, 3 awesome shows. And then on Sunday, we are going to salute Ronald Reagan. You know, Ronald Reagan, of course, was an actor before he got into politics, of course, became a president of the United States. But he was on radio, did a lot of radio shows, and we have 3 excellent shows with Ronald Reagan. I know you're going to love it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We've got a Burns and Allen, a suspense, and a Charlie McCarthy, which
is
one of my favorites.
Yeah, he guests on show. Well, because you like ventriloquism.
I do.
Lisa's a big ventriloquism fan.
I've always been. Isn't that funny? I just have a thing for that.
Yeah, she likes to put her hand up in that puppet, and she likes that, I guess.
That's it. That's exactly what
it is. Is that what it is?
That kind of turns me on, what can I say?
It turns you on. Oh, my gosh.
I'll see my way out of this conversation.
Yeah. We probably should leave it right there.
Uh-oh.
Right? So Lisa likes ventriloquism. You saw a ventriloquist in
Vegas. I did. I saw Terry
Vegas.
Fader last week in Vegas, and yeah. he won America's Got Talent a few years back, and now he's got a whole Terry Fader theater at the Mirage, and he's a comedian and a ventriloquist, and it was fantastic.
Wow, very cool. You know, they had a ventriloquist on the radio, Edgar Bergen,
right,
of course.
Which doesn't even make sense for radio.
No sense.
And it absolutely works.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, who would have thought, right?
I cannot figure that out for the life of me.
You know what it reminds me of?
What?
Like Seinfeld. It's a show about nothing, which makes no sense at all. And it's one of the best shows that has ever been on television.
You just said it. Yeah. Seinfeld is the best show.
When you go into the room and you talk about it, what's the show about? Well, not really anything.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Well, it's the great characters on the show. It's the great writing. You know, with Kramer and George Costanza.
I love George. George is my guy.
Yeah. All right. In this hour, we're going to tune into parts 2 and 3 of Strike Up the Band on the Lux Radio Theater with Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney. We are saluting Judy Garland on this edition, which is program 86 in the series of the WGN Radio Theater. It's all brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the TV series Westworld about a Wild West theme park using robot technology to give its clients everything they have ever dreamt of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, so they win tickets and pizza.
Yes, this is a play to see The Secret Garden at Lake Forest Theater and a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's.
All right, 312-981-7200. That's the number to call. Here's a hint. This actor played Dr. Hannibal Lecter.
I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
I like a nice Chianti every once in a while.
Yeah.
Don't you?
That sounds...
And some fava beans.
Well, I was going to say, you know, you put it together, now that's a nice meal.
Call us 312-981-7200 if you know who that actor is. We'll find our winner after this break.
We are back. This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that famous clip again.
I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
And we're going to talk to Bob from Indiana. I think, are you a liver lover, Bob?
Yes, I am.
All right. There you go. Well, can you tell us who that voice is?
Anthony Hopkins.
Excellent. You are a winner, Bob. Congratulations. You've won a pair of tickets to the season opener, The Secret Garden. It's playing right now at Lake Forest Theater through July 2nd. You can check them out at lakeforesttheater.org. In addition, we'd love to give you a pizza. You can have pizza and a play at Lou Malnati's, a $25 gift card, and you can check them out at loumalnati's.com. Thank you so much, Bob, for calling in, and we appreciate your listening to our show.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks, Bob. All righty, Lisa, you ready for parts 3 and then 4 of the Lux Radio Theater? We had to cut this into four parts because it's an hour-long show.
Yes, I'm ready for all the parts.
All right, so we have parts 3 and 4 in this hour. Then in our third hour, from 1 o'clock till 2 in the morning, we have a half-hour episode of Suspense with Judy Garland in a show called Drive-In. Good mystery. You will love that. But right now, let's go back to October 28th, 1940. Here is part 3 of Strike Up the Band.
All right, step right up, folks. The greatest attraction at the fair, Bozo the African Dodger. Hit Bozo on the head with a baseball and you win a Cupid.
Hey, give me 3 more balls.
There you are, son.
Oh, Jimmy, you're just wonderful.
Oh, I'll hit that guy yet.
Hit him, Jimmy.
Hey, Jimmy. Oh, hello, Willie. What are you doing here?
Listen, Mary says you got to come back to town. We got a date with Mr. Morrison about putting on the show.
Hey, give me some more balls.
Right here, son. Hit Bozo and win a Cupid doll.
Hey, Willie, hold my coat, huh?
Okay, but you got to come along,
Jimmy. I will. Just let me hit this guy once so I can get a Cupid doll for Barbara.
Oh, Jimmy, you're so sweet.
And he missed Bozo again.
I got to go, Jimmy.
And he missed him again.
Hey, Jimmy.
Oh, I'll get him this time.
He can't do it. He can't hit Bozo the Dodger.
Oh, all right, I quit.
Oh, Jimmy.
Oh, I'm sorry, Barbara. That guy dodges too fast. Say, how much do I owe you, mister?
$1.25.
All right, as soon as I get my wallet. All right, and... Hey, where's my wallet?
Are you kidding? I'm going to get that wallet routine, huh?
Honest, mister, it was in my coat pocket. Willie...
Where's Willie?
He left, Jimmy.
Well, hey, Willie!
Okay, we know how to handle guys like you.
Now, hey, well, wait a minute, will you? I'll get the money.
No, no, you won't. You'll work out that dough.
What do you mean?
Listen, when a guy orders a meal in a restaurant and he can't pay, what does he do?
Well, he washes dishes.
Yeah. And when a guy throws a buck and a quarter's worth of balls at Bozo and can't pay, what does he do?
Well, I guess he... No,
yeah.
No. No, mister, you can't do that to me.
Hey, Bozo! Take the afternoon off. This guy's taking your place.
All right, let me go.
Jimmy!
Come on, kid. Stick your ass to that hole. Go on, get
let
in
me
there.
Let me go. What
are you... All right, Bozo.
Oh.
Get the new Bozo.
Oh. Oh,
get the new Bozo.
Me.
I'm going to kick it off. He's new.
Hello, Jimmy. I thought I heard you out here.
Hello, Mary. Are you very mad?
Yes, I'm pretty mad. Did Barbara enjoy the fair?
I don't know.
What's that bandage on your head? She didn't hit you in the head, did she?
No, I got hit with a baseball.
In the football season?
Well, it was out of season.
No.
But look, Phil... Phil told me how great you were with Mr. Mollison and the Elks Committee, and...
Well, we had to do it today. You weren't here.
No, I wasn't here. I want a great band, and I want them to be a success more than anything in the world, and I go rolling off like a rubber tire just when they need me. Why do I do things like that?
Because you're stubborn, that's why. Just because you got on a pair of long pants, you think you know everything.
Well, why don't you tell me when
me?
I go...
Me? Look, you're going to have to figure out your own problems. After all, you can't... carry somebody around for the rest of your life to keep telling you when you get off the track. Can you?
No, I can't do anything like that. It's just that I thought that maybe you and me, we could work in a little closer cooperation with each other, that's all.
You mean sort of like a pal?
No, it's a little more than just a pal. Well, what I mean is, Mary, that couldn't you be my girl without us getting silly about it?
Oh, you... You're going to have to work out your own personal problems. From now on, we're business partners. And whatever we do together is for the success of the band. But let's keep very impersonal about the whole thing.
Sure, if that's the way you want it, Mary.
Well, then we got to move fast.
Yeah.
Do you remember the day we were up in the attic looking at all those old-fashioned clothes my mother and dad used to wear?
Yeah.
And remember the melodrama we wrote with all those old things in it, but we never got a chance to put it on?
Oh, sure.
Well, that's it. That's the show I told Mr. Mollison about.
You did?
Uh-huh.
Well, what'd he say?
He thought it was great.
Well, that's wonderful.
Well, it's going to be more than wonderful. It's going to be the greatest thing that ever hit Riverwood. Oh, my hero, you have saved me.
Ursus, I've been foiled again.
Come to my arms, my darling.
Oh, my hero.
Moral, love, triumph over all.
Well, I didn't see. I thought they'd never stop.
Oh, it was great. Both great. They tore up the joint.
Oh.
Well, what's the matter, Willie?
I hurt my arm in that last scene when you yanked me up on the wire.
Oh. Here, let me take a look at it.
No, leave it alone. It's okay. It's just a little sore.
Well, kid, you better go and put it to bed. Hey, Mary, you were great.
Thanks, Jimmy. You were swell, too.
Oh, thanks.
You're coming off the house with the rest, aren't you?
Why, I'd like to. That's if you're not too tired.
Oh, no.
Well, you know, you got to take good care of yourself.
I will. Jimmy. Can I speak to you?
Oh, hello, Barbara.
Come over here.
Yeah, sure.
I just wanted to tell you how good you were, Jimmy.
Thanks. Well, I've got
a... Oh, Jimmy, Dad's giving me a party at the country club next Saturday night. Will you come?
I'd love to. That's if I'm going to be in town.
Oh, I'm so glad. The only trouble is I haven't been able to make up my mind about the music.
You mean you haven't hired a band yet?
No.
Oh, well, maybe I could help you.
You might drive home with me and talk to Dad. He'll be there. Oh, I hate to spoil your evening.
Oh, no, not at all. Hey, kids,
yeah.
I'll see you later. I got some important business to attend to. Hey, Willie, take care of Mary, will you?
Jimmy, wait.
I won't be long, Mary.
Jimmy. Well, there he goes again.
Yeah, some birds just got to be shot twice before they stop flying.
You have another piece of cake, Jimmy?
No more, thanks.
This is my favorite room in the house. It's so cozy, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, look, about that dance...
Someday I'm going to have an enormous yacht. Wouldn't you love to go to the South Seas?
Yeah. It might be nice in the wintertime.
There aren't very many good-looking boys in this town, are there? What's the matter?
Nothing. Sorry. I just got something tangled in my pipes.
You know, Jimmy, when I look back and remember the thousands of dates I've had with so many different boys, when I think of the time I've wasted, the empty hours.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Don't move away, Jimmy.
Look, I think I'd better.
James, do you really want to kiss me?
Barbara. Oh, who's that?
It's my father. Hello, Dad.
Hello, darling. Well, what's this? Another young man?
I want you to meet a very talented musician and one of my dearest friends, James Connors.
How are you?
How do you do, Mr. Morgan?
James has the most wonderful orchestra in the whole world, and he's volunteered to play for my birthday party for only $50. Isn't that just wonderful?
Well, that's very nice of you, Mr. Connors, but, Barbara, I wish I'd known about this before.
Why, Dad?
Well, I'm afraid I've made other arrangements. I've already signed the contract.
Oh, I see.
But we want you to come to the party, and you can bring your whole orchestra. It isn't every day you get a chance to hear Paul Whiteman.
Paul Whiteman?
Yes. He'll be winding up his tour near here, and...
Paul Whiteman in Riverwood?
Yes.
Oh, well, thanks. We'll be there. Just try and keep us away. Well, goodbye. I gotta go now.
Let off in the chair.
Sorry, I didn't even see it. No, I'm fine. I'm great. I'm glad to have met you, Mr. Morgan. You too, Barbara. I mean, Mr. Morgan. Well, thanks. Goodbye. Paul Whiteman in Riverwood.
Dance at the Country Club has brought the world-famous Paul Whiteman and his orchestra to Riverwood. On the club veranda, Mary stands in the shadows listening. She is alone, as usual. Then she notices a quiet figure near the porch steps.
Hello, Willie. What are you doing out here?
Nothing.
Well, come on inside and let's dance.
No, thanks.
Willie, you've acted awfully funny ever since the night of the show. You're not mad at anything, are you?
Oh, no, I'm not mad.
Oh, well, that's swell. Come on, then.
Oh,
Willie, what's wrong?
It's just my arm. It hurts something awful.
Your arm? Well, where?
Don't touch it.
Willie, have you seen a doctor?
Oh, they don't know nothing.
Oh, Willie, that's very foolish. If something's wrong, you should have it looked at. Promise me you'll go see a doctor tomorrow morning.
Okay, I'll go, but it won't do any good.
Mary, where are you?
Here.
Mary.
Here, Phil.
Oh, Mary, come inside, quick. We're going to give an audition for Mr. Whiteman.
What? Did he say so?
No, he doesn't know it. The orchestra's out for a smoke, and Jimmy got the idea. We're going to get up in that bandstand and give out ourselves.
Oh, we can't do that.
We're doing it. Come on, he wants you to take the vocal. Keep going.
Son, come over here, will you?
Yes, sir. You want to see me?
Yes. My name's Whiteman.
Yeah, I know, Mr. Whiteman. I guess I ought to apologize for taking
Never
over like that.
Never mind that now. Stick around after we finish. I want to speak to you.
Stick around, Lisa.
You want to speak to me?
Mr. White wants to speak to you.
Yeah, yes,
and
sir.
And Mr. Black and Mr. Yellow and Mr. Orange want to speak to you, too.
Yeah, yes, sir.
So make sure you're ready for that.
Whatever you
say. All right, that's part three of four parts of the Lux Radio Theater presentation of Strike Up the Band from 1940, Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney. We're saluting Judy Garland on this edition of the WGN Radio Theater. Let's take a break. Then it's much more. Want to remind all of our listeners that we have a website for this show. It is WGNRadiotheater.com. At that website, there's all kinds of fun things, including thousands of pictures of Lisa Wolf. But there's our schedule there. You'll see all of the radio shows we're going to air each and every Saturday and Sunday. We also have a Facebook page. Just go onto Facebook and search WGN Radio Theater, and you'll find us.
We're all there. We just took a picture with Roger and Elif, and we'll post it with our podcast.
All right.
Because Elif is feeling good tonight.
Yeah. You should.
And she begged us to take a picture of her so she could be on our podcast photo.
Please. Let me be in your picture.
So
and Lisa
said, fine.
Pay me $20 and then you can.
You owe me.
Yeah.
Noted.
All right. So it's time for the concluding portion, portion four now, of Strike Up the Band, Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney. Here is the conclusion to the Lux Radio Theater.
Mom, are you awake?
Why, Jimmy, what on earth?
Mom, it's happened. I told you it would. We're on our way. I got a job.
A job? Why, Jimmy, what do you mean?
Mr. Whiteman heard our band tonight. Paul Whiteman, Mom, and he's offered me a regular job with an orchestra in New York. All our troubles are over.
Oh, Jimmy, I'm so glad for you, son. And I'm so proud.
Oh, gosh, Mom, just think of it. New York.
Just you, Jimmy? Not the rest of the band?
Well, all he needed was a drummer.
I see. Well, I wonder what they'll say.
Why, they'll... Why?
Everybody's looking forward so to going to Chicago. Everybody's been working so hard. Working for the whole group.
Yeah, I know what you're thinking, but...
Do you? I remember when you started the band. When you told me that they believed in you. Had faith in you. Would stick by you. What suddenly becomes of them now? They're the same people.
But this is my one big chance. I can't give it up. Don't ask me to.
You'd be climbing the first rung of the ladder by walking out on your friends.
Yeah, I know it now. I can see it. I guess I just didn't stop to think. I just thought it would be so wonderful for both of us.
And so it can be, Jimmy. But not quite so fast.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Where are you going, son?
You know where I'm going. I'm going to tell Mr. Whiteman that the deal is on.
What you're trying to tell me is that you can't take the job. Is that it?
Yes, sir. I thought I could, but I just got through talking to my mother, and she straightened me out on a few things.
Mothers have a knack at that sort of thing, don't they, Jimmy?
Yes, sir.
You know, Jimmy, after listening to a lot of young bands all over the country, I don't think it would be fair to select just one band. There are too many good ones. So I'm going to devote my whole program to a high school band contest. And, Jimmy, I'm going to play it safe. I'm going to let the public worry about who's best.
Gosh, that sounds terrific, Mr. Whiteman.
I've already selected three bands. I think I'll make it four. Do you want to try?
Do we?
Chicago, Saturday night. Will you be there?
Why, you couldn't keep us away. Oh.
What's the matter?
Oh, I forgot, Mr. Whiteman. It's going to cost us $200 to get the band to Chicago, and, well, we've only got $150. Mr. Whiteman, do you think you could see your way clear to give me a loan of $50? I'll give you my personal note, and I could put my drums up as security. They mean more to me than anything in the world.
You'd really do that, Jimmy?
Yes, I would, Mr. Whiteman.
It's a deal.
Oh, gosh, thanks. Hey, Mary, wait up.
I can't, Jimmy. I'm in a hurry.
Listen, I did. I got the $200. We're leaving for Chicago Friday night.
That's great, Jimmy. Wonderful.
Oh, wait up, will you? What's the rush?
Mrs. Brewster just phoned. Willie's sick. The doctor's there, and she wants me to come over right away.
Willie's sick? Why, is it serious?
I guess it is, all right.
Well, let's get going. What do you say, Doc? What's the matter with Willie?
How serious is it, Doctor?
Well, from what I can gather, he must have injured his arm when he was swung up on that wire during your show.
His arm?
Yes. And unfortunately, what was a simple fracture then has developed into a serious complication now.
Well, what are you doing for him, Doc?
There's not much I can do, Jimmy. Unless that boy is operated on within the next few hours, I can't be responsible for him.
Oh, no.
Well, we've got to do something.
I've phoned the best orthopedic man I know, Dr. Lynn, at the General Hospital in Chicago. But he's operating today and can't possibly get away. We'd have to take Willie to Chicago immediately.
Well, all right, let's take him there.
Couldn't we charter a plane?
That would cost a lot of money, Mary. I'm afraid that Mrs. Brewster could hardly afford that.
Oh, how much would it cost, Doctor?
About $200.
Mm-hmm. Call the airport. We have the money.
$200?
Sure, right here in my pocket. What are you waiting for?
All right, I'll take care of it.
Doctor?
Yes?
Could we see Willie now, please?
Yes, I think you should. Go right in.
Hi, you, Willie.
Hello. I heard what you just said out there, and I'm not going.
Going where?
In that airplane.
Oh, but you've got to go.
I know where you're getting the money, and you're not going to spend it on me.
Oh, what's money? It's like corny saxophone players. You can shake it out of trees.
Look, Willie, I'm your friend, aren't I?
Yeah.
And Jimmy's your friend, too, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, have we ever asked you to do anything that wasn't good for you? Look, Willie, Jimmy's a boss, and the only reason we've gotten anywhere with the band is because we've listened to him. And everybody's always done what he's asked us to. Even hard things. Things that we sometimes didn't agree with, but the only reason the band has done anything, the play and the dance, well, those were little things. And now, don't you see, Willie? You're giving us a chance to do a big thing. Why, to Jimmy and me and every person in the band, you're more important than all the broadcasts in the world. We've got the rest of our lives to do broadcasts.
Look, Willie, I know you'll do it because I know you won't let us down.
You'll do it, won't you, Willie?
I always wanted to ride in an airplane.
Riverwood boy undergoes operation. There it is in the paper, Barbara.
I read it. He's going to get well, too, and it's all because of Jimmy Connors.
So you've said before.
Mr. Connors is here, sir.
Well, show him in.
Yes, sir. This way, please.
Thank you.
Hello, Jimmy.
Oh, hello, Mr. Morgan. Hello, Barbara.
Hello.
Had your breakfast?
No, thanks. I don't care for anything to eat.
Well, sit down.
Thank you, sir.
Tell me, what time is Mr. Whiteman's broadcast tonight?
Oh, 8 o'clock.
Well, think you could win that contest?
I know we could if we were there.
How long would it take you to get your band together and get out of town? Half an hour?
Easy. Why?
Because there's a special train pulling into the yards in 3/4 of an hour, and I want you to be on it.
You mean that? Oh, you're kidding me.
I'm not kidding. Now get going and strike up the band.
Oh, Mr. Morgan, Well, thanks. I'll get the fellas and I'll... Oh, thanks a
lot.
Look out
for the chair.
Well, so long, Mr. Morgan.
Connors! All aboard, everybody!
Get Pablo, here we come!
Goodbye, Jimmy. Be careful.
Goodbye, Mom. Do you think we're going to be the best?
Everybody in Riverwood thinks so.
Well, then we will be. You know what, Mom?
What, Jimmy?
I'm going to make you a queen. Goodbye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. For the past hour, you have been listening to four of the leading high school bands of our country, competing for the prize offered on this program. I want to thank you for your votes by phone and telegram, because it was your votes which helped us pick the winner. And now here it is, a name you're probably hearing for the first time tonight, but it's a name that may become a musical byword, Jimmy Connors and his band. Here you are, Jimmy. This trophy belongs to you.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Whiteman.
Oh, Jimmy, it's wonderful.
Gosh, aren't you thrilled, Mary?
Here, this trophy should have gone to you.
Me? Oh, Jimmy.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Whiteman. Ladies and gentlemen. Well, I guess this is it. I don't have to tell you how I feel. If I felt any better, I couldn't stand it. You know, when something wonderful like this happens to anybody, I suppose you ought to thank somebody. They're not here, but I know they're listening in. Mr. Judd, I was all wrong about you. You'll always be a swell guy with us because you said, I'll buy the first ticket. And as for you, Willie, even though you're in love with my girl, I want you to know that we're all thinking about you, and we want you to hurry up and get out of bed because we all need you. And Mom, I don't know what I was thinking about when I said that someday I'd make you a queen. Because if you hadn't been a queen all the time, I'd never be here now. Thank you.
Our love affair was meant to be. It's me for you, dear, and you for me.
We'll fuss and quarrel and tears start to brew.
But after the tears, our love will smile through.
When you has had its merry fling,
we'll spend our evenings remembering to
happy people who say on the square, isn't ours a lovely love
It's a bit amazing how Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland learned so much about acting at their age. But here they are for a well-earned curtain call. A leading man and leading lady.
Huh. How do you like that, Mickey? You're a leading man.
Say, that's okay, and you're a leading lady.
How long have you been acting, Mickey?
Quite a long time, Mr. DeMille. I was in a vaudeville act with my folks when I was 11 months old.
Did you have a good part, Mickey, or just a walk-on?
Well... To tell the truth, Judy, it was sort of a carry-on, you know?
11 months old? Well, what was the part?
Happy New Year.
I don't get it.
You don't get it?
No.
Well, you know the kid in the three-cornered pants? Happy New Year, you know?
Boy, you certainly are versatile.
Oh, I don't know. It was just the type in those days. Now, Judy, I think we ought to tell Mr. DeMille that we had a swell time in the Lux Radio Theater this week.
That's right. It was grand, Mickey.
Well, I'm a stranger here myself, but I'll give you a message to my little brother, Cecil. The Lux Radio Theater has a rare treat in store for us next Monday night. And now I'll ask CB in New York to tell us about next week's play. Come in, Cecil.
I'm right here, Bill. And I've certainly spent a delightful evening on the audience side of our footlights tonight. Next Monday night, we're going to present the classic story, Wuthering Heights. And our stars are Ida Lupino and Basil Rathbone. It's a great love story. A tense, exciting drama with Ida Lupino as Kathy and Basil Rathbone as Heathcliff. Wuthering Heights was a great hit on the screen, and I believe the Lux Radio Theater will reach one of its high points of the season next Monday night.
Ida Lupino and Basil Rathbone in Wuthering Heights. Well, that's for me. How about you, Judy?
Me too. Good night.
So long, Mr. DeMille.
Good night. Good night. You two made it a great night for the Lux Radio Theater. Our sponsors, the makers of Lux Toilet Soap, join me in inviting you to be with us again next Monday night when the Lux Radio Theater presents Ida Lupino and Basil Rathbone in Wuthering Heights. This is William C. DeMille saying good night to you, as my brother says, from Hollywood.
Heard in tonight's play were John Stockfather as Paul Whiteman,
Louis Silver's orchestra is Paul Whiteman's orchestra. Larry Nunn is Willie. Charles Peck is Philip. Betty Jean Haney is Barbara. Frederick Warlock is Mr. Morgan. Jane Morgan is Mrs. Connors. Griff Barnett is Mr. Judd. Byron Kane is Booper. Dwayne Thompson is Miss Hodges. Lou Merrill is the Barker. Harry Humphreys as the Doctor. Noreen Gamill is Miss Pink. Sue Garland as Annie. And Bud McAllister, Dick Kober, and Anise Reese. Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland appeared tonight through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer and are currently seen on the screen in Strike Up the Band. Our music is directed by Louis Silvers, and your announcer has been Melville Ruick. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's the Lux Radio Theater presentation of Strike Up the Band, starring Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney and a whole cast of characters. You know, Cecil B. DeMille was the host producer of this show. He introduced the program from New York. He was probably in New York directing a movie at the time, and his brother, you heard William C. DeMille there, kind of taking the reins and for his missing brother, as heard on CBS. A great, great show on the Lux Radio Theater. Hope you enjoyed that. A little later in our program, in fact, after the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to tune in to Suspense, starring Judy Garland in Drive-In. You won't want to miss that, from 1946. Lots more coming your way here on the WGN Radio Theater. We'll be right back. You just heard Dan Jaffe there on Cat Matters, syndicated program. Dan Jaffe is the CEO of Cat's Pride. He's also the CEO of the parent company, Oil Dry, and he is one of our sponsors, our main sponsor on the show. And Dan is very generous man, and he gives away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter to a lucky WGN Radio Theater listener every single month. So he'll be coming in here at the end of June and drawing a name out of a hat, and will give away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter. Now, here's how you can enter our drawing.
Oh, yes. You send an email of you and your cat with your name and your cat's name and city and state to catspridephoto@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear stories about you and your cat. And we feel very confident that this that Cat's Pride makes a superior product. It's called Fresh and Light Ultimate Care. It's in a green jug. And I know Katherine Heigl is doing the new commercials for Cat's Pride, and we're really excited about this new rollout.
Right, and every purchase of one of those green jugs, a portion is donated to her foundation, which helps cats and dogs that are in
shelters
all across the country. So she's doing some great work. I mean, she was putting up her own money to do this, and she still does. And she has a whole organization. She puts a ton of money in it. But Cat's Pride joined her in this really great mission to help cats and dogs all across the country.
If you want more information, it's called the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, and you can learn a little bit about this foundation and how it works, how it runs, and her involvement and commitment toward it.
Yeah, so make sure if you don't use Cat's Pride Ultimate Care, you should. You should switch, because, first of all, it's a much better product. It's half the weight of other cat litter. And it's a better product, and it helps cats and dogs all across, really, across the world, because she's working with cats and dogs in shelters all over the world. So, great, great cause. All right, let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater.
The John Buck Company Foundation hosts its annual Spring Fling Thursday, June 16th to support Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Metropolitan Chicago. Join the who's who of Chicago's real estate and get your Spring Fling tickets online at tjbc.com/spring-fling.
Did you know that over 98% of adults are afraid of the dentist? You're not alone. If you dread going to the dentist, have difficulty getting numb, can't stand the sound of the drill, or have a strong gag reflex, the professional staff at Dr. Brown's Family Dental Office understand your fears and concerns. Try this out for size. Sleep through it. Dr. Brown's is one of only a few dental offices that offers intravenous sedation. Complete your dental work in one appointment and in a relaxed and comfortable sleep. You won't even remember the sound of the drill. Dr. Brown has over 30 years of expertise with the most advanced and innovative technology and techniques, all to make your appointment more comfortable and pain-free. Call today for a free, no-obligation consultation, 630-796-4220. Dental work is a dream when you snooze through it. Call Dr. Brown, 630-796-4220, or online at drthomasbrown.com. Open evenings and Saturdays. Most insurance is accepted. Financing available. Dr. Brown's Family Dental Office. DrThomasBrown.com.
All right. We have a wonderful offer for all of our listeners. So everyone listening to my voice right now can get dinner for two delivered right to your home through Mies Meals.
They don't deliver to Indiana, but they do Chicago and all right. the suburbs of Chicago.
That's right.
Mies Meals has been a game changer for me. Mies Meals is a program that delivers food already chopped, prepped, cleaned, washed, measured out, and it comes right to your door each week, all healthy, fresh ingredients with little recipe cards that helps you actually prepare these foods in your own kitchen. And the reason I say it's been a game changer for me is because I don't have to think about what I'm going to make for dinner that night. I'm not running to the grocery store. It all comes delivered, and it's fresh and delicious and healthy. And I choose my menu each week from an online menu options. And I love Mies Meals. And I can honestly tell you that it's been such a great help for me, not only in the kitchen, but it allows me to work with my daughter or my son or my husband, whoever you want, and make dinner together and have a nice, fresh, hot meal every right. night for dinner. And I think that's special.
It really is. And, you know, here's the thing. We all order in, you know, food. We'll call a pizza parlor or this or that. Well, here's a way you can have healthy, fresh food brought in for really no more money than fast food.
And look, that's fine sometimes, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, we usually go out on the weekends, but during the week, I like to make a nice dinner for my family. So this is what we can do for you. There are no contracts. There is
right.
nothing to sign. This is a one-time thing. Nobody's going to keep delivering it to your door and using your credit card. It doesn't work that way. It's just a free dinner for two. It's a one-time deal, and we want to do this for you. So what you do is you go to the website, which is MeezMeals.com, M-E-E-Z, Meals.com. Choose your dinner for two, put in promo code radio, and it will be delivered to your door the following Monday. You do not have to be home. They leave it right at your door in a cooler. And it's really something that you should try. We really hope that you'll give it a try.
Right. It's absolutely free. It's delivered to your door. Just go to Mies, M-E-E-Z, Meals.com. There's like 10 items you can choose from, right? You get the dinner for two delivered to your home, absolutely free. And the reason why Mies Meals is doing this is because they feel that out of all of the people that are taking advantage of this offer and getting a Mies Meals for two, a lot of people are going to want to order it because it's so great. They just want you to experience how great they are. So just go to MiesMeals.com, order your dinner for two, delivered to your home, absolutely free. Put the promo code radio in at checkout, right?
Yeah, perfect.
All right, when we come back, we are going to listen to Judy Garland starring in Suspense, a program called Drive-In from 1946. It is 1 o'clock in the morning. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. Here's the news with Roger Badish.
We are not afraid.
Several prayer vigils around the country on Sunday night into Monday morning, as many honor the victims of the mass shooting in Orlando. 50 people were shot and killed. Another 53 were injured by gunfire. The Gay Men's Chorus of Washington, a vigil out in front of the White House. Hundreds of people gathering outside a landmark in the gay rights movement, the Stonewall Inn in New York City's Greenwich Village, with a rally.
No hate, no hate, no hate.
And here in Chicago, a show of solidarity from Chicago for the victims in Orlando. A rally last night at Halsted and Roscoe with leaders from the city's LGBT community and supporters. A man identifying himself as David Sotomayor says his cousin was one of the 50 victims of the Orlando nightclub.
And I cannot even understand why this would happen. This man was amazing.
Politicians, anti-gun advocates, and police officials all spoke at that event. Governor Rauner addressed the events in Orlando during a stop yesterday at Navy Pier.
We have now experienced the worst terrorist attack in America since September 11, 2001. We stand in solidarity with the LGBT community, the people of Florida, and the people across America, standing against acts of terrorism and acts of hate.
Checking WGN Sports, Cubs start a new series on the road against Washington later tonight, and the Sox start a new series over at the Cell. They'll be taking on Detroit. That's also a night game. Your new Stanley Cup champions are the Pittsburgh Penguins. They beat San Jose last night 4-2 in the series. The game they won 3-1. Phoenix beat the Chicago Sky 86-80. And in the St. Jude Classic in Memphis, after a long rain delay, Dan Berger wins the tournament. And later tonight, Cleveland against Golden State in the NBA Finals. I'm Roger Badish on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Your traffic and weather next.
There's something special about cooking dinner from scratch. The house smells great, the kids hang out in the kitchen, and life just slows down for a minute. Mies Meals offers healthy, delicious recipes each week with fresh ingredients that are prepped, ready to cook, and delivered right to my door. The step-by-step instructions make it easy, even for me, to cook up a masterpiece. Mies Meals even lets me customize my order.
For a free dinner for two delivered to your door, enter promo code radio at miesmeals.com. That's promo code radio at MEEZmeals.com.
Cat's Pride has proudly made cat litter for over 65 years. Three generations of a family committed to creating innovative, top-quality cat litter products. New Cat's Pride Fresh and Light lightweight litters contain absolutely no fillers, just natural clay minerals with an odor-controlling system. Pure performance. Whether your cat prefers our original Fresh and Light quick action or fragrance-free, all our clay litters are made using only safe and gentle ingredients without ever compromising on performance. Cat's Pride, committed to changing litter for good.
Hi, it's Steve Cochran for Siding One Windows, One Windows. I had them put in my home a winter ago, and I got to tell you, second winter in a row where I'm nice and warm all winter long, and last summer I was cool when I needed to be cool. That's just the quality work that Siding One Windows, One does. One of the greatest things about them was they cleaned up after themselves. You could barely tell that they were there. Right now, get great spring pricings, get a quote, and find out what I found out. It's siding-one.com for me, 800-929-9275.
929-9275. WGN traffic on the tolls right now. Northbound 294, we have a medical emergency. It's north of LaGrange Road. A right lane is down there. On the expressways right now, the Edens, you're 15 minutes both ways. The Kennedy running with no delays. Reversibles are closed until 5 a.m. On the Eisenhower inbound, we have some road work causing some big delay there. Beesterfield to Irving Park Road, all lanes are blocked there for that road work. Entrance from Beesterfield is fully closed as well. On the outbound side, it's three left lanes from Irving Park Road to Beesterfield. On the Stevenson, you're running with no problems. The Dan Ryan looks good. And Lakeshore Drive running with no delays as well. Bishop Ford, I-57 are clear. And on the tolls, 294 is slow on both sides at I-80. The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center. Rest of the overnight, some clouds in 59. Monday, partly sunny with scattered showers and thunderstorms overnight, high of 88. And Tuesday, partly cloudy, thunderstorms again likely overnight, high of 80. Wednesday, periods of showers and thunderstorms again likely and a high of 86. 58 at O'Hare, 62 at Midway, 59 in Burr Ridge, 60 at the lakefront. Next news at 1:30 or when news breaks and at WGNradio.com. I'm Esmeralda Leon on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
All righty, hour three. Hour three, Lisa, of
three.
The WGN Radio Theater. Program 86 in the series.
Lisa. You look like you're telling me some new information.
I'm trying to teach you something here,
okay,
Lisa.
Okay, I'm listening.
Program
I'll try
three,
to listen to you this time.
All right, hour three,
hour
program
three,
86.
Program 86, got
WGN
it.
Radio Theater.
What station is this?
WGN,
we
AM
so
720.
We are so lucky to be here.
Oh, my gosh. It's a dream come true.
I know. Seriously. I know we always say it, but we seriously mean when we say that. We feel so lucky to be here.
When I'm driving here, I tune it in. I listen to what's going on.
Listen.
I always have GN on. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to be on this station
Isn't
in a little
that
bit.
Crazy?
I'm listening to the people before me, you know, like Rick Kogan or whoever. I'm like, in a little while, I'm going to be on.
Okay, you know what I like to do?
Uh-oh.
I like to walk down Michigan Avenue and walk by the window, and I look at whoever on, like Bill and Wendy will be on, or
yeah.
Rokon and Anna, and I look in there and just sort of wave like I'm just walking by, like they'll have no idea who
right,
I am.
They don't recognize us.
Not really. I don't know if they do or they don't. I'll just wave and walk by and think, you know, I get to do that too, and it feels really good.
Yeah, it's great to do this, especially from the Showcase studio here.
Yep.
The Allstate Showcase studio that we do the show from. And people walk by, I mean, now not so much because
Saturday
it's pretty
night's
late.
Saturday a lot
night,
busier.
Yeah.
Especially last night. It was beautiful outside, and there were so many events going on in the city yesterday, including the naked bike ride. Didn't you participate in that, Ella?
I did. Didn't you see me?
You looked great.
Do you have any pictures?
Carl likes pictures.
No.
No?
Privacy concerns.
All right.
iCloud.
So in this hour, we're going to tune into Suspense, Judy Garland starring in an episode of Suspense. You're going to like that. All of this is brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the TV series The Get Down, about a group of teens from the Bronx who shaped the hip-hop and disco scenes.
All right, the number to call, 312-981-7200. What do they win?
A pair of tickets to the season opener of The Secret Garden, running right now at Lake Forest Theater.
All right, so give us a call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor starred in L.A. Law from 1986 through 1982.
Through 1992,
I'm sorry, 1992, and is heard here as bad guy Julio Gonzalez in 1986's Running Scared.
You're looking at the first Spanish godfather of Chicago.
All right, do you know who that is?
I do.
All right, 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
Welcome back to the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop, and let's play that movie clip again.
You're looking at the first Spanish godfather of Chicago.
And we've got Mark on the line from Glen Ellyn. Hey, Mark.
Hey, hi, Carl and Lisa. How are you?
Hey, Mark. How are you?
We're good. I'm good. Carl, you good?
Yeah, yeah.
We're all good.
Yeah, I'm good.
Mark, do you recognize that voice?
I do. It's Jimmy Smits.
It is. And I was just telling Carl how I just recently saw him in this last year saw him on a show at Goodman Theater. He was fantastic. And I'm so glad that you knew the right answer.
Mark, but wait a minute. I got to ask Mark.
Okay.
What's more impressive, that she saw Jimmy Smits in a play, or that I was in this movie Running Scared with Jimmy Smits?
He likes to competition here.
Mark. I think I have to go with Lisa on this one.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. And he was impressive on the stage.
I still like you, Mark.
But I like him more. Anywho, you have won
That's
a pair of... I hope that you can make it to see The Secret Garden. It's running right now at Lake Forest Theater through July 2nd. And you can check them out at lakeforesttheater.org. This is their first ever show, and it got terrific reviews. I didn't see it, but if you go and see it, we'd love to hear what you thought about the show.
Great. Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.
All right. Yes, indeed, I was in this movie Running Scared.
Wait, what? You were in a movie with
I was
Jimmy
in
Smith?
This movie, yeah.
Wait, what?
Billy Crystal, Gregory Hines. Let me tell you something. Gregory Hines, one of the nicest men I've ever known, ever worked with. What a wonderful guy.
So wait, were you in a movie with Jimmy Smith?
Stop. Billy Crystal?
Oh,
I like Billy Crystal.
Seems like he'd be a really nice guy. He seems really funny and down to earth.
I don't know. Maybe he was going through something.
Maybe it was you.
You know, maybe I was annoying him.
You know, it's kind of like Mickey Rooney when you told us the story. He didn't really talk to you.
Yeah, Mickey Rooney
maybe
did not
Billy
wanna...
and Mickey both kind of
maybe
felt
I
that
just
vibe.
Maybe I just annoy people. I don't know.
That's what I was thinking, but
Could
I didn't
be.
Want to say it.
My personality.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a good movie, Running Scared. It was shot here in Chicago. Really good movie.
Were you in that movie?
Anyway, all right, time for Suspense. You ready for this?
Yes, sir.
Judy Garland stars in Drive-In. Now, let's go back to November 21st, 1946, part one now of a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
And now, Roma Wines, R-O-M-A, made in California for enjoyment throughout the world. Roma Wines present Suspense. Tonight, Roma Wines bring you Miss Judy Garland as star of Drive-In, a suspense play produced, edited, and directed for Roma Wines by William Spear. Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills, is presented for your enjoyment by Roma Wines. That's R-O-M-A, Roma Wines. Those excellent California wines that can add so much pleasantness to the way you live. to your happiness in entertaining guests, to your enjoyment of everyday meals. Yes, right now, a glassful would be very pleasant as Roma Wines bring you Judy Garland in a remarkable tale of suspense.
I wish I hadn't let Ruth talk me into serving that last car that came into the drive-in that rainy night. It was late and I was tired. I'd been on my feet all day carrying heavy trays, hopping to it with impatient people glaring their headlights on and off in my eyes. Heaven knows there are a lot of impatient people in Hollywood. We car hops don't have an easy time of it. Talk about your mail carriers. Well, we're the same. Raining or blowing or boiling hot, we've got to get through with that tray or know the reason why. Tired, hungry people who sit back in their car expect $1 million worth of service for a 10-cent tip. Why do we do it? Sure, there are other ways of making a living in Hollywood, but not many that hold that glittering promise that maybe someday, somehow, maybe someone will say...
Why, that girl looks like Lana Turner.
Yes, at least her hair's done up that way.
I think I could use her, Rennie. The musical version of the Forsyte Saga. Oh, she'd be great in color. I think I'll ask her to come out to the studio.
Yes, I know.
Maybe it doesn't happen often, but there's always the chance. And there's always that hope. That's what keeps us going, I guess. But there are other things that can happen in a drive-in that aren't on the menu. Like that rainy night I was telling you about when I let Ruth talk me into serving that last car that came in.
Millie, listen, please take his order, will you? I got three cars.
Oh, look at the clock, will you? It's nearly midnight. I'm off duty.
Oh, please, Miller, just this once more. My date's waiting. I'll do the same for you, son.
Ruth. Say, what's the matter with him? Can't he read? Please do not honk your horn. It looks clear enough to me.
It's a doctor's car. You see, he's probably in a rush. Anyway, you got nobody waiting for you.
Oh, all right.
Oh, gee, thanks, Mel.
It was true. I had no one waiting for me. Only the bus that was going to take me to Glendale, where I lived alone in an apartment. So I buttoned up my raincoat and took a menu over to the car. Good evening.
Never mind the menu. Just a black coffee, a pot of it. And a ham sandwich. Please hurry it.
When I took his order over to the car, the window was rolled up a little too far and it interfered with the tray, so I reached in to wind it down. When I touched the handle, it felt wet, kind of sticky, too, but I didn't think anything about it. I got the tray firmly set, and then I looked at my hand. It was as red as blood. I looked up quickly at him.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Dr. Morgan. I just had an emergency in the car.
Oh, an accident?
Yes, Sunset and Vine. Quite a crash. I just happened by, and I took one of them to the hospital.
Oh, gee, that's a shame.
Yes, it's too bad.
I walked back trying to wipe the blood from my hand with a paper napkin. It gave me a creepy feeling to have somebody's blood on my hand. Then I went in to wash. I was trying to keep close track of the time, and I was a little worried for fear the big drive-in clock wasn't right. It sometimes ran slow. So I took a coin from my apron pocket. I figured it was worth a nickel not to miss that last bus to Glendale. I walked over to the payphone, and I was about to drop the nickel in when... I looked out, and he was leaning on the horn and beckoning to me at the same time. I put the nickel back in my pocket and hurried out to him.
I'm sorry, but I'm in a hurry. I haven't time for this coffee to cool off. I'll take the sandwich with me. How much do I owe you?
Well, I'll be 42 cents.
Oh, here you are.
Thank you.
I hope I didn't interrupt your phone call. It wasn't important, was it?
No, I was just checking on the time. I don't want to miss my bus.
There was a clock right over your head.
Well, that's usually wrong.
If I have the time, it's about 4 minutes to 12.
Oh, I'm going to miss my bus.
What time does it leave?
At midnight from Hollywood and La Brea.
Well, hop in, I'll take you. I'm going right past there.
Oh, would you? I'll take the train. I'll be right back. I might still be able to make it.
Okay.
In my hurry to unhook the tray from the window, I gave it a jerk and it fell crashing to the ground. Oh, dear. Ruth!
Yeah?
Look, help me with these things, will you? I'm going to miss my bus.
Go ahead, Miller. I'll get it.
We picked the things up quickly, and Ruth went off with the tray. I started to run around the other side of the car when I noticed something shining on the ground. It was one of the shakers that had fallen from the tray. I picked it up and started toward the driveway.
Why don't you just put that in your pocket? You can return it tomorrow. Come on, you're going to miss your bus.
I put the shaker in my apron pocket and I rushed over to the other side of the car. He opened the door for me and I was just about to get in when I hesitated. I wasn't used to doing this kind of thing. The other girls sometimes let their customers drive them home, but I never did. Still, he looked so decent and I...
Come on. You'll miss it.
Then he reached out as if to help me in, and I felt that he was really concerned about my missing the bus because he seemed to pull me into the car. And first thing I knew, I was sitting beside him. Then the door slammed, and we were driving off. I was a little uneasy, but then I thought, it's only a few blocks. I won't be in the car long.
I suppose you're in a hurry because someone's waiting for you.
No, I live alone. But I'd hate to walk back to Glendale in this rain.
You won't have to walk.
Well, this is very nice of you. I appreciate it.
Not at all. Would you mind rolling up that window on your side? There's a draft.
Oh, of course. You can let me off at that corner over there.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Anywhere along here will be all right. This is fine. Right over there by the stop sign. Wait a minute, you're going through the stop signal.
Am I?
Yes, but I'll get off over there by the other one. My bus! You're turning the wrong way.
Am I?
Yes, this goes up to Laurel Canyon.
Does it? You thought you were pretty smart, didn't you?
I don't know what you mean. Please, let me out of this car.
You went right to the phone. You thought I wouldn't see you.
The phone? But I was calling about the time. Honest, I was.
The time? With that clock over your head.
But that clock's wrong sometimes. Besides, who would I call? Why should I call anyone about you?
You were calling the police.
No, honest, I wasn't. Let me out of this car.
You were going to catch a bus. You were going straight to the police. That's where you were going.
Yeah, but why? Why should I go to the police?
You know why.
No, really, I don't.
Because you saw it. You saw his blood. No, you don't. There. You won't need to try to open that door again. Now we'll be getting along.
Suspense, Roma Wines are bringing you Judy Garland in Drive-In. Roma Wines' presentation tonight in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
After I made that last try to get out, he broke the handle of the door. All the strength seemed to go out of my body. I just sat there as we drove on. We passed a few people and some cars in the next blocks, and I thought of calling out, but then I knew why he'd asked me to roll up the window when I'd first gotten into the car. Then we were at the mouth of the canyon, and I could see the road, dark and lonely up ahead. The car twisted and swerved. My arm ached from his strong fingers that had dug into it when I tried to jump out. I looked at him from the corner of my eye. He hadn't seemed like a criminal back at the drive-in, and he didn't seem like one now. His jaw was black from needing a shave, still his face, well, it wasn't like a criminal's at all. It was so tired.
Quit staring at me.
Oh, look, I didn't know anything about you. Honest, I didn't. Please let me go.
You know something about me now.
Well, I won't tell anybody. Whatever it is, I promise I won't.
A woman's promises. Remind me to tell you a story about a woman and a promise.
Let me out. Please let me out right here.
It's a long way back to Glendale.
Well, that's all the better. It'll take me hours to get back, and you'll be miles away by then.
I'm not taking any chances with you, kid.
Please let me out. I've got to get back.
said no one was waiting for you. You live alone, don't you? No one will miss you.
We both heard the siren then. He looked quickly in the rear vision mirror. Then he took a gun from his pocket and he turned to me.
If that's for us and we're stopped, remember just this. I've used this gun before tonight and I can use it again if I have to. If I'm taken, you'll go first. Now listen, I'm a doctor and you're a nurse. We're headed for an emergency. If you want to live, you won't try to pull anything.
You're an awful fast for a wet night, aren't you? Followed you up from Hollywood.
I'm Dr. Morgan, officer. This is Nurse Johnson, emergency call.
Let's see your identification.
He fumbled through his pockets with one hand, holding the gun in my ribs with the other. The motorcycle cop looked over at me. I thought for a moment I could signal him with my eyes. But then I knew he wasn't looking at my face. He was looking down at my white starched blouse, which you could see under my raincoat. He thought it was a nurse's uniform.
Ah, here you are.
Okay, Doc. Sorry I stopped you.
Hey, just a minute.
What's the matter?
Just wanted to tell you. Rain started to slide up there a ways. Take it easy.
Thanks, I will.
You're not Dr. Morgan, are you?
What do you think?
This is a very suspenseful suspense episode, right?
See how that works?
It's called Drive-In, and it stars Judy Garland, and the homicidal maniac guy there is Elliot Lewis, who was married to Kathy Lewis. She's in this show as well. And Kathy Lewis, if you remember My Friend Irma, she was her roommate, Jane Stacy, Kathy Lewis, and did a ton of radio. Good show, good suspenseful drama here, and we'll get back to it from 1946 in just a few minutes. But first, these words. Oh, I like this. What is this from?
It's Ramsey Lewis.
Yeah, Ramsey Lewis. Yeah, I like it. You like it, Lisa?
I do.
Would you dance with me?
No.
I got that a lot in high school, you know.
When a lot go of to, no's.
When I'd go to the dances, I'd be like,
no.
Hi, excuse me, would you dance with me? No.
You know, when I was young, I would never say no to a guy because I would didn't want to hurt their feelings and make them feel
aww,
bad.
That's
but
sweet.
I'll say it now.
That's sweet.
You get older and then you just don't care as much.
Hi,
you know?
What's your name? Whatever, you know. Would you like to dance? Nah, that's all right, but thanks. I got that a lot.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, I'm not surprised
that.
By that.
And then I gave a girl my Italian horn, and she went out with me. You know, I gave her my Italian horn.
Once?
Yeah, we like went out on a couple dates. I gave her my Italian horn, and then she broke up with me, never gave it back.
I'm not shocked.
Never got it back, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Girls. I've had girl trouble kind of my whole life, you know.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Well, you know, some people got it and some people don't.
Right. You've got it and I don't.
I give lessons very cheap.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Give you the girl perspective.
I'm looking, you know, I guess it's because I'm looking for a unicorn, you know. I'm looking for a girl out there that's like absolutely gorgeous and is worth like $4 or $5 billion. Not, you know, million, it doesn't, you know.
So it's all about the
I
money.
Need the billions.
Really?
Yeah. Well, that would make things nice. You could travel and do whatever you want, you know.
Right. What about a really great girl with all those attributes but not the $1 billion?
Well.
All right.
Yeah,
you
can
think about that one.
But the billion with the B, helps. That would help a lot.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So, well, we learn a little bit about each other all the time,
maybe
Carl.
There's a unicorn out there for me. I don't know. You know?
All right, well, okay.
But Judy Garland is in a car here with a guy who's definitely not a unicorn. This guy is a homicidal maniac in this episode of Drive-In. Let's go back to November 21st, 1946. Here's the conclusion to Suspense.
time we came on the landslide, it wasn't a big one, but it had made a terrible mess of the road. He didn't slow down, and the car swerved crazily as it slipped from one side of the highway to the other. Suddenly, I felt as though the whole rear end had slipped down. I looked over at him. He was tense. His knuckles turned white as he clutched the wheel. He shoved the car into reverse. Oh, I hoped it had never moved. It didn't. We were stuck, hopelessly stuck.
But what a luck.
Suddenly the car was filled with light. A car had come around the curve behind us. This might be my chance.
Remember, I still have this gun. Don't try anything. Say, we're stuck here. Could you give us a push? Well, have some California hospitality, will you? I'll have to get out. I'll have to put something under the wheel. You stay here. Now, stay there.
There were some bushes by the side of the road. If I could reach them, I could perhaps run up the side of the hill and hide. Then in the morning, make my way back down the canyon. I carefully turned the handle of the door. I could see him in the mirror. He was at the back of the car. I eased the door gently open, put one foot out. I was just sliding out when I heard him.
You're not going anyplace. Come here, give me that raincoat.
Why?
I need something dry to stuff under this wheel.
But I...
You won't be needing it. Come on!
He practically ripped it off my back, wound it into a ball, and bending down, he stuffed it under the wheel. The gun stuck out of his back pocket. If I could get it, if I could lay my hands on it. I held my breath. I reached out. It seemed so far, but I finally touched it. Then I snatched it from his pocket swiftly.
Look, give me that gun.
I'm going. You can't stop me now.
Can't I?
No. You stay right where you are. I won't hurt you. All I want to do is get home. I'm going, but if you follow me, I'll...
You'll what?
I'll kill you.
I don't think you will.
Yes, I will. You think I'm afraid.
Aren't you?
No. I don't care what happens to you. You're a murderer. You killed somebody.
I thought you didn't know anything about me.
I didn't, but I do now, and I'm going to tell the police. You stay where you are. No, don't. I'm not afraid. I'll shoot.
Too bad I used up all of those tonight. You could have filled me full of holes. All right, give me that gun and get in the car.
Are you going to kill me?
What do you think?
We were nearing the top of the canyon now. The road was very steep. The rain had let up. It was just drizzling now. Even though he hadn't answered my question, I knew the answer. He was going to kill me. I wouldn't get back home tonight. Not tonight or any other night. It was funny. I sometimes used to hate that little apartment of mine where nothing ever happened. But tonight... And then... For some strange reason, I thought about Ruth. What would she say tomorrow when I didn't show up at work? And I wondered where they'd find my body.
Well, here we are. It's Lookout Mountain. Top of the world.
Suddenly we came over the crest of the hill, and way down below the city stretched out for miles, millions of lights glittering in the rain. For a moment I forgot everything. It was the most beautiful sight I'd ever seen.
Ever been up here before?
No.
Nice, isn't it?
Yes.
I used to come up here with a girl once. We used to sit and talk for hours. Come on. We'll get a better view if we get out.
I knew it was foolish to argue with him, so I followed him. But as he walked over towards the edge, I became frightened. It was such a steep drop.
Well? Come on.
I'm afraid to get so close to the edge.
You won't fall. Look. That's Los Angeles over there. That bright line of lights is Western Avenue. I went to school somewhere along in there. I used to get in all sorts of trouble at school, but I got by and managed. Everyone said I'd grow out of it. Over that way towards the ocean, that's Westwood. That's where she lived, this girl I was telling you about. That was the best part of my life, I guess. That's when they said marriage and a wife would straighten me out. Marriage and a wife would straighten me out in Westwood, they said.
Does your wife still live there?
No. She's dead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You needn't be. I killed her.
Why?
Because she couldn't keep her promises.
Did you kill her tonight?
No. A long time ago. The jury said I was insane. But I think it was the sanest thing I ever did. They put me in an asylum. Did you know what it's like being locked up year after year when you know there's nothing wrong with you?
No. No, I don't.
It isn't good. You'd do anything to get out. Anything. Anything else.
I knew if I could keep him talking, maybe a car would come along. Maybe something would happen. It was my only chance.
What are you thinking about?
You killed someone else tonight, didn't you?
Yes.
Dr. Morgan?
Yes. He was one of the men who thought I was insane.
Why did you do it?
I wanted his car to get away in. I didn't want to be locked up anymore.
Oh, but they'll catch you.
No. They won't find the doctor for several days. I saw to that.
How can you be so sure?
I do things thoroughly.
What are you going to do now?
First, I'm going to... And then I guess I'll go south.
I knew what he meant by that pause. I started to back away slowly. I'd made a mistake by reminding him in the present. My hands went instinctively to my apron pocket for something to defend myself with. I knew there was a pencil there. It was sharp. Maybe I could scratch him or hurt him some way with it, but when I reached for it, I felt something else instead, something cold and hard. I was puzzled for a moment, and then I remembered. It was a shaker I'd picked up at the drive-in.
Stand still.
And then he started moving toward me. Me with only a pencil and a shaker to defend myself with.
It's too bad I came into that drive-in tonight.
Oh, why did you?
Because I was hungry. Because I hadn't eaten for a long time.
Weren't you afraid someone would see you?
No alarm had gone up.
How'd you know?
I knew. If only you hadn't rolled that window down.
Well, if you're sorry, why don't you let me go?
It's too late. What's that?
With a sudden movement, his arms were around me in a tight embrace. I started to scream, but suddenly his lips closed over mine. Pushing my head back roughly, he kissed me. I could scarcely breathe, and I felt the car's headlights on us like a spotlight.
Just look at this view, will you? I'll have to do this in a picture sometime.
Can't you see you're interrupting something? Come on, drive on, will you?
Okay, okay. And in all this rain, you'd think people would have some more sense.
He held me a moment longer, and when the car had gone, he released me. My pencil had fallen to the ground, and I was left with only the shaker in my hand. I fingered it nervously, and then I felt the top coming off. I felt the content spilling in my hand.
What have you got in your hand?
Nothing.
Give it to me.
No.
Give it to me.
He grabbed my wrist and pulled me toward him. We were moving to the edge of the cliff, but my other hand was free, and I threw the contents of the shaker into his face. His hands flew to his face in an effort to clear his eyes, but I knew it was too late. The pepper had blinded him. He lunged out for me, but I stepped aside quickly, and he slipped in the mud. His hands went out to steady himself. He clawed frantically at Finley. Then I saw him falling over backwards, over the edge. Then my strength gave way and I felt myself sinking down to the ground. I don't know how long I must have been there, but when I came to, it was raining again. I was soaked to the skin and there was mud caked in my hair. There was no one in sight. The lights of Los Angeles stretched out in a pattern peacefully below. And I knew that somewhere at the foot of those hills was Glendale. And my apartment. I rose slowly to my feet and I started back toward the road. Somehow, everything that had happened seemed unreal. Like a dream. Everything but the way he kissed me. To keep me from crying out.
Suspense. Presented by Roma Wines, R-O-M-A, selected for your pleasure from the world's greatest reserves of fine wines. And now it's curtain call time for tonight's suspense star, Judy Garland. Judy, you were grand. We hope you enjoyed your part tonight as much as we did your performance.
Thank you, Ken. As a matter of fact, playing the part of a waitress tonight was a treat. I just pictured myself knee-deep in juicy steaks. Let me give a great big portion with love and kisses to my great and good friend Bill Spear for his magical direction, and to Raymond Lewis for playing the man so wonderfully.
Well, thanks to you, Judy, and to Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of The Yearling, for their cooperation in making you available to us tonight. Next week, we'll have Chester Morris as star of Suspense.
Oh, he's one of my favorite actors. I won't miss it. Good night.
Tonight's Suspense play was written by Mel Donnelly and Muriel Roy Bolton. Next Thursday, same time, you will hear Chester Morris as star of Suspense. Presented by the Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California. Ladies and gentlemen, in the coming weeks, Suspense will present such stars as Cary Grant, Olivia de Havilland, Alfred Hitchcock, Joseph Cotten, Roddy McDowell, and many others. Make it a point to listen each Thursday to Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills. Suspense is broadcast from coast to coast and to our men and women overseas by shortwave and through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's Suspense. November 21st, 1946, with Drive-In, starring Judy Garland. And you heard her say, it's kind of interesting, you heard her say, my special thanks to Raymond Lewis, who played the homicidal maniac in this. No, it was not Raymond Lewis. That was a pseudonym being used for Elliot Lewis. Elliot Lewis was a director on this series, so he took the part and he didn't want to, you know, make it sound like, oh, I'm the director and I'm also going to play a part. But he used a pseudonym for this show, but a great episode. Ken Niles doing the commercial announcing there, as heard on CBS. That's Suspense. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. Lisa and I are talking about bands that we liked when we were kids.
Like in the 80s.
Yeah, in the
80s. These are 80s bands.
70s and 80s.
70s and 80s, yeah.
My favorite band back then.
What television show uses this?
You asked me the same thing last time.
Oh, what is it?
This is from The Parent Trap.
Right, The Parent Trap, thank you. I'm a little slow.
My favorite band back in when I was a kid was Fleetwood Mac. I liked Fleetwood Mac a lot. I liked Billy Joel. And I liked...
What did you like about Billy Joel?
I just thought he was great.
Yeah, Piano Man is one of my favorite songs.
And I was a big... I still like Bruce Springsteen. And then...
I was saying I was into like REO Speedwagon and Styx and Chicago.
Yes.
And The Who was my favorite album.
Queen was good. But I would have to say my favorite band when I was a kid was the Rolling Stones. I love the Rolling Stones.
I mean, yeah.
Classic.
And the Beatles.
Yeah.
You know, of course, I liked the Beatles. The Beatles were a little bit before my time. Mm-hmm. You know, my brother and my sisters were into the Beatles, and they were into Dionne Warwick. I remember them listening to Dionne Warwick a lot. My sister Carlene and Jella had all the Dionne Warwick songs. I mean, she's a great musician and all that, singer and all that, but it was a little bit before my time. So if you had to go back, and if you could go to a concert, you know, right now and see the band of your, you know, you can time travel, the band of your choice and see that band right now, who would it be, Lisa Wolf?
Kiss.
Kiss?
Yeah.
Really? Kiss?
Oh, that was the most amazing concert I have ever been
Kiss.
To in my whole life was Kiss.
Really?
I was at Tulane, and they came to New Orleans, and I went, and it was unforgettable.
Wow. Not How about you, Elif?
Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah. I saw Michael Jackson.
That makes sense.
You did?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so sad.
I mean, did he talk to you?
No, he didn't talk to me. I didn't get to meet him. I saw him twice in concert, both times at the Rosemont Horizon.
Wow.
It's now changed.
Right.
It's a Allstate Center or whatever. But back then it was the Rosemont Horizon. I saw his Thriller tour. Mm-hmm. And then I think I saw his another one, like Dangerous or something like that. I can't remember what it was. But I saw Thriller. That was cool. His Thriller tour.
I bet.
Michael
I'm so
Jackson.
Envious of you.
You know, he was just a showman. I mean, he was unbelievable.
Everybody envies Carl. It's okay. Join the club.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was amazing. Michael Jackson. Incredible.
Oh, sure. He was.
All right. Well, let's see. Let's talk. Do we have another break? We got another break, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a break. Then we'll reminisce a little bit more. All right. Nick DiGilio is in the house. What's up, Nick? How are you, my friend?
There it is. That's it.
Everything good?
Yeah.
So Lisa and I were talking, and Elif, we were talking about if you could time travel, right, and go back to whatever era, what band, what concert would you like to see the most?
I would have to say that, you know, I mean, I was lucky enough to have seen a lot of concerts when I was a kid. I started going to shows in 1975. My first concert was, I was 10, it was Black Oak, Arkansas, headlining, and Bad Company was the opening act, and nobody knew who Bad Company was.
Wow.
So I got to see a lot. I saw Zeppelin. I saw Tull. All the classic rock guys I got to see, except for one band that I didn't get to see, and that's Queen.
Mm. Oh, I was just talking about Queen as one of my favorites.
And
as
Queen,
well.
when they toured America in 75 or something?
Something 76, maybe.
But the opening act was Thin Lizzy.
Mm.
So it would have been Thin Lizzy and Queen. That's it right there.
Yeah.
What was your first concert, Carl?
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember, but I got to see Elton John a couple of times.
Oh, I've seen him.
Fabulous. The Stones a couple of times.
Yeah.
I never saw the Beatles. As I say, they were kind of before my time. Yeah. But
that would be another one, time travel wise. I'd love to go.
Yeah,
back
the,
and see
Beatles.
The Beatles.
But I always was a huge fan of Billy Joel. Still am. I love all of his music, and I saw him a couple of times. But I got to say, Michael Jackson was probably the best concert I ever saw, Michael Jackson's Thriller tour. I saw that, the Rosemont Horizon. But I saw Fleetwood Mac.
In the 70s, I think there was a law that if you didn't own Rumors, the cops could come in and arrest you. Like, if you didn't own Rumors and Frampton Comes Alive, you legally had to have those two records in the 70s or you couldn't live.
No, yeah, you had to have those two. And I had the Zeppelin albums. I had all the Stones albums, Tattoo You and all those albums. And those were the days,
right?
My friend, right?
Yeah, no, they were. I mean, I was lucky enough to have seen a lot of concerts at a young age.
So what's on the show this morning?
Movie reviews. We'll be talking about the big movies that came out this week. The big movie of the week is The Conjuring 2.
Oh, yeah.
The horror movie.
How's that doing? Pretty good?
It did over $40 million over the weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's
big. So it's pretty good. And then we'll talk about that. My dad will tell a joke. And speaking of music, Esmeralda and I will go head-to-head again in yet another battle of VH1's pop-up video board game the challenge. We did it. We did it last week.
Yeah,
yeah, and we had a head to head battle going. So
that
as
sounds
and I
good.
Will get into that.
Yeah, we'll be listening. Lisa cool. and I are listening. Lisa drives home to her house. I drive home to my house, and we listen
definitely
to
go to separate houses.
Yeah, we go to separate houses.
He's just being clear in case you didn't quite pick
right.
up on that.
No, yeah. I get that vibe.